Welcome to church. My name's Dan, I'm the Community Minister at Holminster, and we're continuing our new series, Living in the Light of the Resurrection. And this week we'll be hearing about two apostles, followers of Jesus, who, after walking on the road to Emmaus, eventually recognised that they'd been walking with Jesus when he revealed himself in the breaking of bread. And as I read this week's passage, I was reminded, in the midst of this journey we're on as a church during the pandemic, that actually, for many of us, the noise of our daily life has been turned down. And it's my prayer that in the next few minutes, we can invite Jesus to reveal himself afresh to us, that we won't give space for the noise and the fear of all things related to the coronavirus, but that we can be reminded that God's voice is a gentle whisper, a still small voice. And today we're invited to hold on to that voice, the one that revealed himself to Elijah in the Old Testament, to those disciples on the road to Emmaus, and the one who speaks hope and peace to us today. So we continue with musical worship as we sing of Christ's amazing grace.
Shall soon be all my been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns.
So we'll shortly hear scripture read by Rachel, a member of the 1115. And if you've got a Bible, do turn to Luke chapter 24. Following the reading, Frank White, our interim minister, will share a reflection on the passage. So before our Bible reading, we share in the collect prayer for the third Sunday of Easter. Risen Christ, you filled your disciples with boldness and fresh hope. Strengthen us to proclaim your risen life and fill us with your peace. To the glory of God the Father. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24, beginning at verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognising him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know about the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are! And how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us. For it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognised him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognised by them when he broke the bread.
Off they set on a familiar road, a regular journey that took them from the city to their more rural and quiet retreat in the countryside. They would know every turn of the road, each vista as it came into view. Their conversation would have been easy, punctuated by long silences as they thought their own thoughts. They might have welcomed the unexpected arrival of a stranger. Their conversation with him would give them a break from the strange events of recent days. They really couldn't make sense of what had happened, no matter from which angle they looked at it. It was all a muddle. So, better that they get back to their regular routines and familiar environment of Emmaus. They'd had quite enough of the big city. But those puzzling events kept floating into their conversation with this stranger. Their pace slowed and then stopped as the real sadness of the events welled up to the surface. The stranger didn't seem to know what they were talking about, so that gave them the opportunity to let their guard down and to say what they really thought. He was quiet and attentive. He was weighing up what they were saying as their storytelling began to peter out into the dead ends, which were becoming familiar as they rehearsed their thoughts. Then the stranger spoke, and the pace of their journey began to quicken, and in no time they were turning off the road to their village, and the stranger was going on his way. He never did say where he was going. It must have taken a bit of courage to invite him in, to persuade him to interrupt his own journey, but he seemed very happy to be welcomed into their house. He seemed remarkably at ease, and when the food came to the table, it was he who took the initiative and began with the familiar words of thanksgiving to God for all that they were to receive. For all that they were to receive. The stranger hadn't really said very much, but what he did say made sense of their experience and gave shape to their story. Then he broke the bread, and he didn't really need to say anything else. Those disciples remembered that words and actions had always been connected in the life of their friend Jesus. He did what he said, and he said what he did. And he always revealed who God is and what God is really like. As we heard the rest of the story from St. Luke's Gospel, it's clear that those two companions were completely changed by what or who that they saw. Their return to Jerusalem and joining with the witnesses to Jesus' resurrection says it all. Living in the light of the resurrection is the theme of our services over these next few weeks. It's also the invitation that Jesus holds out to us all in Holminster and further afield as we welcome him onto our journey in life. When we are next able to gather with him around the table and join in the feast of God's kingdom, then we'll be able to share our stories of how he has been with us on the way.
I hope you're able to continue reflecting on Frank's words this week. And there are further resources and study notes available online at holminster.org/church-at-home. So we now turn to a time of prayer led by our Associate Vicar, Irene Wilson.
Let us pray. As we bring our prayers to you this day, we ask that our eyes may be opened so we too may see the risen Lord. We pray to Jesus, who walks with us on our journey of life. Jesus, light of the world, bring the light and peace of your gospel to the nations. In a world that is struggling to fight the coronavirus, we pray that countries will be united and work for the good of all people. We ask that this virus will not reach the poor areas where refugees already struggle to survive, and areas of the world where conflict has left so many with so little. Jesus, Lord of life, guide us on our journey. Jesus, light of the world, strengthen and guide all those working to keep our nation going. For frontline workers in hospitals, care homes, hospices, and for every person whose input allows life to carry on so people are fed and hospitals cleaned. Be with the many businesses that have turned their hand to supplying vital equipment during this crisis. Help them and others to survive the economic turmoil so that at the end of this time they will be able to return to their usual work. Jesus, Lord of life, guide us on our journey. Jesus, light of the world, we pray at this difficult time for those suffering mentally as well as physically. Thank you for all those that are at the end of a telephone to help in these crisis situations. For those with cancer and other diseases who are worried about treatments and delayed operations, give them strength, courage, and quality of life. Help them to cope with the isolation so that so many find themselves in. And we thank all volunteers that are helping them on their journey. Jesus, Lord of life, guide us on our journey. Jesus, light of the world, you brought comfort to those that suffered. We pray this day for your comfort to reach out to all who are bereaved. Help so many cope with the suddenness of the death of loved ones and the anguish of not being alongside to say goodbye. We pray that they will know your love in their lives and that neighbours and friends will be given the strength to support them and to know what words to say. Jesus, Lord of life, guide us on our journey. Jesus, light of the world, open our eyes so that on our journey we may see your glory, that we may trust in your love and read your word. And send us with our hearts burning into the world to share your gospel message. Amen. And now we join together as we say the modern version of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
There are a few items of Minster news now to share. Hopefully you've received the Minster Lifeline via email or you've read it online. But if you haven't, do find it on our website. This week you'll read that Tom, our media and communications officer, gives an insight into how that area of ministry is growing rapidly during this period and what it looks like behind the scenes to be developing our online presence. And later today, Hull Minster conversations continue on Zoom, 4 p.m. for the family focus and then 6:30 p.m. for the gathering. Both offer space to share, pray and encourage one another as a community during these uncertain times. And finally to say, please do continue to give financially to the ongoing mission and ministry of Hullminster. There are several ways to give. You can give online via hullminster.org/donate or through My Church Suite and click on the My Giving tab. Or if online giving isn't for you, someone suggested you could fill a jam jar every week with what you'd usually put in the offering plate. Whatever works. Thank you for giving generously. So as we remember the revelation the disciples had as Jesus broke the bread, we draw our time of worship to a close with a prayer and final hymn. So a closing prayer. God of glory, you nourish us with your word, who is the bread of life. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that through us the light of your glory may shine in all the world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we join together now in song as we declare and celebrate that we have a gospel to proclaim.